Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show. We'll be here for 25 more minutes. I'm Tim with Ed and Walker. And Walker, are you posting the stories we're talking about?
I am. I'm posting all the news stories we're discussing, and we're live streaming on Facebook. Today's Issues on Facebook. Also, if you're maybe not a Facebook fan, some aren't, then you can just go to AFR.net, AFR.net, and also listen to the show there. Listen to all American Family Radio 24/7.
And thousands of people listen on our app, right?
That's right. On your smart device, your iPhone, Android, whatever, you download the AFR app and you can listen whenever and wherever you are.
Whenever and wherever you are.
As long as you have an internet connection.
Right. All right. So
Before we get to Steve Jordahl,
yeah.
Can I just make a mention? We were talking about, Steve, are you going to talk about anything having to do with the Hawaii thing or?
I will if you want.
No, I'm just going to mention it. I see this article from Daily Mail. It's in reference to the story we covered last hour about the false warning to the citizens of Hawaii that a nuclear missile was headed their way. This says, one in four atheists or agnostics resort to prayer when personal crisis strikes, despite insisting that they're not religious. So I just found that interesting. 25% of one out of four non-believers pray when confronted by tough times.
Which is likely what they might have been doing in Hawaii.
Sure.
Steve Jordahl with us from American Family Radio News.
Good morning.
And onenewsnow.com.
I'm not an atheist, and I pray constantly.
I read that last night, too, Ed, what you're talking about. And
no atheists in foxholes kind
yeah.
of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or storm drains, as the case may
yes,
be.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I read one fellow. He said it was comment after that story you're citing there. This is in the UK, right?
This was a
survey in the UK?
Yes, right.
But one fellow said, I'm an atheist, but I do pray when something bad might happen or something like that. And some guy came later and said, you're an agnostic. You're not an atheist. An atheist is somebody who doesn't believe in God absolutely. An agnostic is someone who says, I don't know whether there's a God
yeah.
or not. But anyway, I think the guy said, I pray just in case. Just in case he's wrong.
Cover your bases?
Yeah, cover his bases. You know, they were talking, this article I was reading was talking about the growing atheism and agnosticism in Europe. You know, basically Europe, which is formerly a Christian continent, has lost its Christian roots. For the most part,
except places like you know Poland or something that still have
yeah
they're reclaiming them in Poland
and, even Russia
yeah.
still got a lot of
when my folks were missionaries we took off to the mission field we spent a year in France and even in the 1960s and the 1970s they were talking about how hard the ground was in Europe how far they had wandered from the Christian ethic
That's true. All right. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm well.
All right. It's
starting to warm up around here. Not quite warm, but
starting to warm up.
When you say around here,
In Tupelo, Mississippi,
our headquarters.
We
have people listening all over the country, Steve,
I know.
And they're wondering what are you talking about.
I'm talking about Tupelo, Mississippi, which
the low
has been
teens all week. What are you talking about?
Not all. Well, we're warming up.
Relative
to the upper 50s and the 60s for the weekend. Oh.
Okay. I just walked across. All I'm saying is I just walked across the street, and at this point, Tim, you have yet to put the tunnel between the two buildings so that we can do this without having to soil ourselves with
thousands
of people.
For years, we walked across the street when we had the studios across the.
I know.
And
but
so.
In walking across the street, I found it surprisingly very pleasant, actually.
Now, it is 45 Brandon, and sunny, Ed.
I'm from right Colorado.
Now. Okay.
So
I'll
this
back
doesn't
off.
Feel that
Listen,
cold
I don't want
so
to
be optimistic,
go to the mat.
Ed.
I don't want to go to the mat over everything.
Is the thermometer half full or half empty?
Hey, look, tomorrow, though.
Well played.
Tomorrow night is going to be near the single digits.
Yeah. Did you guys watch the football games over the weekend?
I did when bit. I could. I was traveling.
One of the commercials they had was for some show or other, and I don't remember what network it was or what show it was, but the guy, it might have been Matt LeBlanc, who was saying, yeah, they cut off our sports channel, so now I'm sitting watching the weather channel. He says, Miami's beating Buffalo by 60 degrees.
Miami's beating Buffalo by 60 degrees?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I will say, you know, my heart goes out to New Orleans Saints fans who lost heartbreaking last-second Hail Mary kind of play in the Minnesota Vikings.
Wild.
That was a wild game.
My cousin's son, so I don't know what that makes him to be, a second cousin maybe?
Three times removed.
He's a big-time Vikings fan, and I think he's just over the moon today about what happened.
So, anyway.
All right. You're listening to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, what do you got leading your news stack?
Just something to keep an eye on. This isn't something we have to spend a lot of time on, but in the Philippines, they are watching as its most active volcano has come to life. This is Mount Mayon. It's southeast of Manila, far enough away that Manila is not going to be affected, but there are 15,000 people have fled from their villages as this volcano erupted mildly today. In other words, there's lava flowing down the sides, but it hasn't been one of those explosions. But they are watching it because it could be. Do you remember in 1991, Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines erupted. I flew over Mount Pinatubo in about 1990. It would have been about 1996, maybe. And you could see, we flew directly over the cone, and you could see a trail. It looked like a trail of just destruction all the way to the sea from Mount Pinatubo, maybe 3 or 4 miles to the sea. And it just, like they carved out, like someone took a rake and a hoe and just carved out this. It's the power of nature is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So they're keeping an eye out in the Philippines for Mount, what did I say it was? Mount Mayon, and something that you might be seeing in the news in the next couple of days.
Did you see a week or so ago, I was reading a story about Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington that it was, showing signs that it may become active again. Did you see that?
I did, I think. I didn't read it, but I did see that it's starting to show signs of life. I lived in Portland in 1990, so I was going to seminary at the time, and this was several years after the big explosion of Mount St. Helens. However, I-5, if you're driving up to Seattle from Portland, goes right past where if you're going north, you have to turn around and look, but you can see that same kind of a trail I was talking about with Pinatubo. You can see it go kind of all the way up to Mount St. Helens.
Just you remember the images after it?
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The images after that eruption where these trees are all flattened.
Flattened.
Decapitated.
And you could still see it at that back in the 89. You could still see it. It's just amazing.
Think about a major a major volcanic eruption, and I've never experienced one firsthand. We don't have those where we live, but you take that one in Mount St. Helens, for example. You know, you're talking about ash. Remember when it erupted? When was it? In the 80s?
Yeah, it would have been early 80s or mid 80s.
We're talking about ash that travels thousands of miles. It gets in the jet stream.
Yeah, right.
Travels, I remember when they had the active volcano. I mean, volcanoes are more than just lava flowing down a mountainside.
Right.
You're talking about the explosions that go up into the atmosphere. And then I remember reading, remember this? But this is 6-7 years ago. You had the situation in, was it Iceland?
Yes.
Where you had a volcano that was active for several weeks, and the ash was going up into the jet stream and causing flights to have to be diverted. From transatlantic flights couldn't land in, having trouble landing in Heathrow or somewhere like that. So, I mean, you're talking about very disruptive
1980
freaks of nature, if you will. What,
1980 is when St. Helens took up. And by the way, for those that are on the man-made global warming bandwagon, the amount of pollution, and if you consider CO2 to be a pollutant, the amount of CO2 that is released in a major eruption like this dwarfs all man-made CO2 emissions for decades.
Yeah.
You mean just one major?
One major eruption is enough to devastate.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's massive. And it even dwarfs cow flatulence, which of course is.
Yes. Which we joke, but there are liberals who want to tax.
Yes, cows.
Cows,
I'm
gaseous
not, I'm not
emissions.
I'm not even going to comment on this. This is all y'all
yeah.
right here.
No, that's true.
I'm pretty done with that topic now, if you want to move on.
Okay. I'm good.
We better. No good way to go from
here. That's right. It's not going to end well if we start down that road.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, what's next?
A victory in Washington State for some street preachers who were outside sharing the gospel with students at a local high school. They were located on a sidewalk out by the parking lot of the school on public property, and they had cleared their street preaching or their activities with the school officer and the city, saying that they could do this. But in the middle of this, someone came out from the school or called the police, and these five gentlemen were arrested, saying they had broken the city's noise ordinance. Now, I don't know if they were using bullhorns, but certainly it wasn't because of noise that they were arrested. And just this last week, our friends at the Pacific Justice Institute, Brad Dacus's group, this was Kevin Snyder, who's one of his lead attorneys, got the charges thrown out. When Kevin sent a letter to the lawyer defending the school, attacking these five street preachers, and pointed out how they were violating the First Amendment rights of these guys, they dropped the lawsuit. So a victory for those, thanks to Pacific Justice Institute in Washington.
Yeah, and that's an important. These kinds of battles are important. So whenever we mentioned we had wall builders, David
Barton.
Thank you. Sorry, I've had a long weekend traveling. You know, when some, even within the evangelical community, will complain about what groups like ours do in getting people involved in the culture and in politics, and they say you're only, you know, you're wasting your time because all we should do is preach the gospel. Well, here you have Brad Dacus, who started the Pacific Justice Institute. There are other great groups, Alliance Defending Freedom, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. They actually go to battle to defend constitutional liberties so that the gospel can be preached.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is not, as you say, Tim, this is not an either or. This is a both and. We are, the church obviously is supposed to always preach the gospel and to try to win people to Christ and pray and all those things. Always, that's what the church should be doing. But we can also work in D.C. and state legislatures and local school boards to try to bring a Christian influence, salt and light. So that's a perfect example.
Cases like this, and this one didn't go to trial because Pacific Justice kind of headed it off before it got that far, but these are the kind of cases that also affect those that are outside of abortion clinics, protesting or praying or counseling the women who go in for abortions. And it's core and part and parcel of the gospel, and we're seeing these kind of incidents, legal threats, come closer and closer to the churches themselves, where you have some governments who are saying, for example, that you can't, your parking lots aren't right, the zoning issues that you have in your church, we don't want your church here, or you can't say something that's derogatory about gay people in your church, we're going to take you up on hate crimes or for being political. It just, we're seeing these things kind of creep closer and closer to the actual building of the church and the actual everyday practice of Christians, whether or not you are one to go out and witness with a bullhorn in front of a high school or counsel in front of an abortion clinic. That might not be you, but it's coming for you.
Right. Mm. Right.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. So that's good news.
That is good news.
Absolutely. Next up.
I don't know how many of you, Walker, are you familiar with Moby? Do you listen to Moby? He's a
negative.
He is a.
I've heard of him.
Have you heard of him?
I have heard of him, and here's why. I don't want people thinking that I
got to hear this one.
That I actually know much about current music, but he sang a song that plays during the credits at the end of the Bourne movies.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's how I can. That's why.
Was he a pop singer?
Well, pop might not be exactly right. I think it's more of a blend of hip hop and pop, but. He's a current artist that millennials and younger would know. If you look at the guy, he looks old. He's got a gray beard. He's bald and everything, but kind of hip. Anyway, right after the election in January, after President Trump took office in January of 2017, just this last year, Moby tweeted out that President Trump is a tool of Putin. He's a puppet of Putin, and that Putin is pulling the strings on the president of the United States.
Is this a Russia Files?
This comes from the Russia Files.
I had to do it. Man,
Thank you.
I just had to, yeah.
Thank you. I have a snowflake.
Ed was waiting for something like the Democrats tie everything to racism.
Right.
Ed was looking for some way to tie
to the Russia Files. And by the way, going forward, Brent, whenever we have a Russia Files story,
just go.
I want to hear them. I want to hear a little bit more of that song.
Ramp I could bring the whole thing in someday if you'd like.
We're going to hear a little bit more of the Russian national anthem by the Russian. I said,
I'm ready for another.
No sopranos need. Apply.
Yeah. I listen. I'm ready for another week of the culture wars. Just hearing those manly men sing.
There you go. Well, anyway, his tweet at the time said that that dossier that talked about Trump, that Fuse and GPS put together. His tweet said it is 100% real. Well, it turns out that Moby has some friends who are active and former CIA agents, and this is what they said. He said. They passed on some information to me, and they said, look, you have more of a social media following than any of us do. Can you please post some of these things in that way? Just sort of put it out there. So the CIA or the deep state within the CIA are the ones that are asking him to put this out there to disparage Trump and to say there's something about a leak or the collusion and the pulling of the strings. They kind of called him a Manchurian-type candidate. The CIA is doing that.
Well, but this is a couple of people in the CIA, right?
We don't know.
That Moby know? That
Moby knows.
That Moby knows?
But does it strike you as unlikely that the CIA or the dark state within the CIA, given what we know has happened within the FBI, that the CIA might not, some people within it might not?
Well, I don't want to anger the CIA.
What happened to the whole idea that the CIA is not supposed to operate on the mainland?
Yeah.
Spying on Americans. Yeah.
Yeah, assuming this was done in any kind of official capacity.
No, I'm sure that it wasn't official.
Yeah.
But
it was done nonetheless.
CIA agents asked him to spread word about Trump and Russia. So I'm just saying the deep state, man, it is deeper and darker than many people even have an idea about.
Yeah.
I don't know this Moby guy.
He looks kind of old, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I don't know how old he is. He looks kind of old. But
Extreme Ways is the song that he sings at the end of the Bourne movies with Matt Damon.
He looks like he's born in 65, so he's 2 years younger than me. So he's 53, something like that, 52. Anyway, so he's a hip-hop guy?
Well, he blends some of that.
I don't know what genre
he's a DJ. Like he's known for mixing music.
He mixes. He's not a singer.
Mixes.
Oh, he's a singer, but I don't know what else he does.
Mixes are when you take an older song and you kind of retool it and put some beat behind it. And I heard, in fact, when we remember last week we talked about Moody Bible Institute and the changes that are going on there. Someone mixed the Moody song, their theme song, God Bless the School That D.L. Moody Started. Behind a hip hop beat.
It was
cool. I used it in my story on One News Now.
Kind of like, what was that during the 90s? There was some kind of little.
Hooked on.
Hooked on classics.
Hooked on classics.
Yes, I remember
you
that.
Know, you know, have you ever We'll move on from this Moby topic, but I got to ask you, have you ever noticed that it just strikes me as ironic that these artists, and he may be great, I don't know, because I don't know,
That's the only song I've ever heard of.
I don't know anything. I never even heard his name until it came up over the weekend, Moby, but evidently he's very popular. He's sold over 20 million records, so...
Somebody, I think he's related to the whale that Herman Melville wrote about.
I was waiting for that one. But I always get a little tickled because these guys and ladies want to be known as keeping it real.
Woke. They're woke. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Being genuine and they're avant-garde.
I'm authentic.
They're taking on the man and the establishment and they're speaking to power.
This is good. Keep going.
They're real. They're real people. You know what I'm saying? And they're speaking, you know, like Eminem, and they're taking on.
Yeah.
They're taking on the
speaking
world.
Speaking truth to power.
Right. And yet they can't even use their own name.
In fact, he only uses one name, Moby.
It's not even his name.
What is his name?
His name is Richard Melville Hall.
Yeah.
Melville. Well, there you go.
But he changed Herman it Melville. To Moby. What I'm saying is, for people who claim they're authentic.
Keeping it real, yeah.
And they're keeping it
real.
They
go by a shadow name.
Huh? Yeah, they got to use a different name. They can't even use it. Why don't you just be, hey, this is Richard Melville Hall.
Yeah.
I'm about to
because that's not hip and cool. Richard.
Yeah.
Richard.
So it's fake and fraudulent. And right.
At least Cher, that's her real name, right? So Cher, she comes out, she's one rhyme. You're going to call me Cher for the rest of my life. Yeah. Not using a last name. But yeah. Moby doesn't even use his real name.
I don't think Cher's her real name. Ed, we can talk after the show.
Oh, that's not a real name?
No, I don't think so. Maybe it is. I don't know. But
I don't know either.
Well, I'd be very embarrassed.
All right. anyway, so next up, we got to...
Let's end with a snowflake. This is from the Snowflake Files.
Hey, 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 snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts has... You might be surprised to hear, I know you will find a hard time believing this, an Office of Institutional Diversity and Equity. And it is asking for people to please relate all the bias and hate and everything that goes on their campus. They want to put a stop to it. And so they have said, report to us what you have. And this is one of the things that was reported. They are advising students to report signs of color-coded pink for girls and blue for boys as bias incidents, claiming the signage is abhorrent and intolerable.
Abhorrent?
Abhorrent. So if you use pink for girls.
What's abhorrent?
Abhorrent.
Oh, abhorrent. Okay.
Yeah.
You are saying the same thing, if I can mediate.
So
is
abortion,
it binding arbitration?
So tearing unborn children apart in the womb
no,
is
that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. As long as you don't do
pink
it
for girls and blue for boys is abhorrent?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ugh. I'm sorry. I want to throw up.
Yes. And so they have have documented this. I get this stuff on College Fix.
Wait till later.
Other things have been, for example, telling boys that they can't wear dresses is abhorrent, and it's.
We're gonna have to work on your pronunciation
we shall
of
be.
That word.
We shall be.
Yeah. Can you hurry up? Because I got a Cher update.
I'm done.
She was born Sherilyn Sarkeesian, so she is Cher.
Sarkeesian.
Yeah.
Ed is vindicated.
That's all I care about.
You remember the little girl Chastity that she used to put up on the piano in the middle of the Sonny and Cher show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one who became became a boy.
Yep. Now she calls herself Chaz.
Chaz Bona, I know.
Well, we're out of time, thank goodness. And we shall be back tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues. Take care, everybody. Keep listening to AFR.